You're listening to Star Wars Hangout,
the best Star Wars Hangout in the galaxy. Hey, Star Wars fans, welcome back to Star Wars Hangout. I'm Ez.
And I'm Lottie.
And friends, we're back with Ahsoka Episode 7, Dreams and Madness, and we don't understand the title. The name of the episode, actually.
Can anyone tell us where was the dreams in that episode?
I think it
was a little bit of madness, but...
Yeah, some madness. But I don't know. I think I actually saw somewhere that the dreams and madness thing was mentioned last episode. So that's kind of strange. Like, he was in Episode 6, and he said something about this is a land of dreams and madness.
I have a proposal.
Yeah.
Maybe dreams and madness are supposed to represent... Balin and Shin. Balin is the dreams. Shin is the madness.
Actually, that's kind of...
Because he has some dreams. We don't know where he's going in this episode.
Yeah.
Thrawn definitely did not send him.
No.
He parted ways with Shin.
Right, exactly. So where is he going? What's he doing? He talks about her ambition, you know, and says that she's very ambitious and that her ambition may lead her to a place in the new empire.
Right. And we know she has that mad stare.
She does. Yes. The actress, it's going, it's trending online because, I don't know, she could just stare. I don't know, it's like a forced stare or something, you know? Strange. Right. I love it, though. It's intense. Okay, so this episode starts off with us back on, I don't know if this is Coruscant, or I've always been trying to figure out where we are with the New Republic headquarters.
Probably.
Yeah, it looks like Coruscant. I know it's probably a dumb thing to say, but I was always confused in the sequels as to where... the New Republic's headquarters was, and why it wasn't on Coruscant, and then they're destroyed, and then it looks like it's... Anyway, I don't know. Who knows? But yeah, we're probably there, and we are at the trial with Hera Syndulla, and she's been disobeying direct orders, and it's not a good thing. I just want to say that there were some really good things in this episode.
Yeah.
Really cool things that happened. But initially, upon watching it, I just didn't have the one. We had some crazy madness ourselves going on last week. But I just did not have the, I don't know. It did not land as well for me as I thought it was going
to. On Tuesday, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
It really did not. You were there. You witnessed it.
I know. We both, once the episode was over, we both looked at each other and we're like, oh, that's it. Okay.
That's it. Yeah. It's fine. It's cool. It's not bad. Because... you had C-3PO in this. Anthony Daniels was in this. It was amazing. He comes up.
Cool.
He represents Leia, Senator Organa, and he's there on behalf of Hera Syndulla. It was great.
And we have a little bit more Hayden Christensen in there.
Yes, for sure. That was huge to have Anakin in and have new recordings of him in his Clone Wars sort of attire with these holo recordings that he passed on to Ahsoka. She said there's like 20 of these. So, I mean, part of me is just hoping that they actually did record, like, him doing 20 different messages, and we maybe have these scattered throughout Star Wars, and it's just, like, the Anakin.
That'd be so cool.
Yeah, like records that he left with her, his teachings.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
But we see that she's still super attached to that. That, you know, drives her. It gives her motivation to train. It helps her focus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, for sure. So there are really good things in this. They're very interesting, intriguing stuff. The Thrawn stuff is good. Like, there's tons of stuff that I really like in the episode. I just kind of thought we were going to go further. I thought second to last
we're
episode.
We're still on that planet. Yep.
Yeah, I thought we would get a little further. I thought there would be a greater sort of reaction when they saw Ahsoka or when Ahsoka arrives or...
Yeah.
Or even between Sabine and Ezra.
I felt like
it's sort of like... awkward.
It is a little awkward. And Sabine, once Ahsoka shows up, she's like, oh, thought you were dead.
Yeah. And then Ezra's like, thought you, you know, what?
Yeah.
And then she's like, well, maybe I was wrong.
Yeah.
I guess I was wrong.
It was so weird.
With a smile, kind of like, everything's fine. We're all fine here. Don't worry about it. But it was just different. It had just an oddness to it. But it had super highs, right? I mean, it has this whole bit. You've got Mon Mothma, Hera, C-3PO, all really cool stuff. Space Whale's coming in. Hu Yang's cool. He's running around, flying around, like still giving advice. Thrawn's the best. Thrawn is the absolute best in the whole thing. He every time he's on screen, just delivers.
Right.
He's epic, ominous. Yeah.
He teaches Morgan. Morgan the whole time. She wants to be the voice of reason. Like, what are you doing? You're not like going after them, really.
Yeah. Yeah. He keeps pulling him back.
he's a mastermind. He doesn't, yeah. he tries to explain to her. And I think that's really cool that he actually kind of teaches her a little bit. I don't know if it's to show off or if it's really to explain to her, this is what I'm doing. Because he needs people. That was his whole problem before, right? People not following his orders because they think like Morgan.
Yeah, yeah.
They think, that, why would we let them go right now?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and his orders are like he's the Grand Admiral for a reason.
Yeah.
And the problem we had in Rebels, yeah, people would not follow through. They would disobey orders, and then like his plans would be ruined because he was hoping that people would be obeying orders like they're supposed to.
Right, but they don't understand his plan.
Yes, and so he's starting to kind of, yeah, let her in on that. Mm-hmm. Also, one thing back in The Mandalorian, when Ahsoka met Morgan Elsbeth for the first time, she says, "Where is your master, Thrawn?" She calls him his, like, you know, that he is her master. So
yeah, there's definitely a history that we don't know much about.
No, not really. It's just sort of alluded to that they worked together possibly before Rebels, maybe even leading into Rebels, that they knew each other, and then she was an Imperial, possibly still working for, trying to locate him or something. I'm not.
Yeah.
We don't really understand that piece because Thrawn actually is using the Great Mothers, right? To contact his former apprentice or Padawan, Morgan Elsbeth. I mean, I'm just calling her that for fun.
Right.
But somehow he's using them to sort of get back to his galaxy. And that leads us to other things, which is like, what did he promise them? Like, why?
What are they gaining from
this? What are they gaining from this? Why are they working? Why are they saying, as you wish, Grand Admiral, right? Like, they're doing his bidding.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, it's just strange. But anyway, Thrawn's really cool. So like I said, going through some of the highs here, there's lots of action. There's a great lightsaber fight between Baylan and Ahsoka, which I loved. I think it's going to go down as one of the better ones, even though no one wins. But it's just visually stunning. It's really good. Ezra doesn't use a lightsaber, right? The Force is his ally.
Yeah,
and that's all he needs. He's got his hands, so that's great. And Sabine, it's just there's I don't know. I just feel like it feels like it's. I don't know how to explain it, but there's lots of really highs and there's just,
it's just a little slow, you know?
Yeah, I guess. I don't
know. It feels a little slow because we're still stuck on that planet.
It also feels natural and real.
True.
Though. I mean, that's it feels like the actual pace at which these events would unfold.
Right.
It's just that we thought they would, you know, kind of do some more time jumps and get us around, but they're really just showing us step by step. Exactly how Ahsoka went down to the planet and found them, and exactly what happened next after that, and what happened next and next and next. There's really no, it just doesn't move on very fast. So it's natural, but yet it's slow, I guess.
Right.
I don't know. I love it. I don't want to question it because I'm sure it's going to land awesomely as we come into it on Tuesday, and it's been set up beautifully for that. But I just was, hoping for a bit more. There was some development between Baylan and Shin, for sure.
Yes.
Right?
He kind of said goodbye for good, right? That he's like, that's it. You're going to go a different
way. He did
way.
Say goodbye for good.
It was
yeah.
kind of not a lot of emotions, just his words were really good. What did he say? Yeah. A parting, last parting lesson or something?
Yeah, it was something about patience and basically like that victory.
Impatience for victory will guarantee defeat.
Okay, there we go. So that was his parting advice. And I feel like he just sort of said to her, you know, that her ambition, he wants her to take her place, that whatever dream or vision it is that he's seeing, there is no place for her because he knows his apprentice and he knows what she's after. And he's sort of like, go get your own in this new empire. But it's not for me. It's not what I want. And it's strange.
Is he also protecting her, though, from something that he has to go do? Or does he have to?
Probably. He probably knows that he's risking everything and that he's given up on everything. He seems sort of like he's lost hope and faith in things. He has there is nothing. He seems like he's a great destroyer, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
Like he wants to destroy everything and just start all over. He's just completely lost to a point where he's not like, I don't know, like on the surface mean, evil, crazy, whatever. He's just sort of this quiet, laid back kind of like, it's all over and I'm gonna seek an end to it all. And it's just, he's sort of
even when Ahsoka steals his whatever, I don't know what kind of animal it is, but he's just like, okay
gotta
move on,
Right. Yeah, he didn't want her to interfere. He was trying to keep her from going there. Also kind of protecting Shin a little bit because it's like Shin's going there and facing Ezra Bridger and Aunt Sabine. So that's already a big enough task. And then so he doesn't want Ahsoka to get there. But she goes and they end up having their fight. It was, I guess, I don't know. I think I want to talk more about maybe the finale and predictions possibly as to where it's going. Because I don't... This episode was just, unless, before I do that, I obviously get your additional thoughts on whatever you have here in the episode, because it just is, there's this ominous sort of meeting between Hera and Mon right after the trial where she's sort of like, is this real? Is this a real big deal? Like, I know that Organa did not sanction that mission, you know, and then she's like, well, eventually she did. But she says, is he really coming back? And Hera is for sure that he is. Like, can just tell that this is... Her gut tells her that war is coming, Thrawn is coming, and that this where she left everybody, you know, was Ahsoka going to find Sabine and rescue Ezra. It really wasn't to stop Thrawn.
Right.
He's got the coordinates to come and go now, and he's got a hyperspace ring to do so.
Yeah.
It's more about just getting her friends back and keeping some of these Force-sensitive heroes of the Republic safe.
Yeah.
Right. But otherwise, yeah. So it's set up for a pretty big bad return of Grand Admiral Thrawn. What were you going to say?
Oh, just I had a question. What do you think about that guy, Ziono, and the way he just...
Oh, Senator Ziona. Ziona.
Ziono, yes. Yeah. And the way how he dismisses Hera. She could say anything, and he just doesn't want to hear it. And he doesn't sound professional either.
Yeah, so
he almost accuses her of not being professional, but then the way he says it, oh, it's just, you know, sounds like fairy tales. Why are we even looking into that?
Mm-hmm.
That's not professional. Mm-hmm. That's not a trial.
No.
You know, it's just his opinion on it.
Yeah, it's still early days of the New Republic, and I think they're still trying to find their feet or whatever, and we know that he's not somebody who was in the war, and so he's come into politics. Maybe he was undisturbed by all of it, or his home world. I'm not exactly sure the history in him, but he does feel like somebody... who is just his hubris or whatever is getting in the way. He just sort of thinks he knows what's best and what's right, and he's elected by the people, and he knows the history of the galaxy and war. And I think he's lumped Syndulla into this other almost like, I don't know, veteran war hero who is always like doom and gloom and is always looking for something that is coming that he doesn't think is coming, and so he's just trying to dismiss it. He doesn't want anything to do with it. I mean, it's Cornelius Fudge is what it is.
Yes. It actually, he reminds me a lot of him. Then even we have a witness, or not a witness, but like C-3PO come in. And
yeah, Mrs. Figg.
It's like, are you serious?
Right.
A droid.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, a droid, like a squib. You're exactly right. Yeah, it's mimicking that trial. But I don't know. I just, he seems a little strange, and he just seems like, everyone's not prepared for this. And General Syndulla sort of says that, is that she's more worried about whether or not they're going to even accept the fact that he has come back and accept that there is a threat.
Right.
So that's a little scary.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then before we move on to what are your predictions for the finale, I just wanted to throw out there that I really like the Noti. Noti? Noti?
Yeah, whatever they're called. The
Noti? Noti?
Are they naughty? the naughty Noti? Notai?
Noti. I think that's what Ezra calls them.
Okay.
They're cute. They're cool. They're peaceful. And they helped Ezra actually hide from Thrawn, right? On this planet.
Yeah.
So I like them. They're very cool. Star Wars, right?
Yeah, very Star Wars. And it's sort of neat to hear him speak to them in their lingo.
Yeah.
And just, I thought when they make their hard left, right? If you're watching them, they are booking it. They go into double speed and it is real slow, and they're just trying to get out of the way, and it just, I don't know, feels so strange just to see that. But yeah, they're a hardy, peaceful people, and they get the slingshot. He taught them how to use the slingshot, which is something that Ezra does. He had in season one of Rebels, he has his I don't know what it's called, but he's got his little slingshot that he uses, and so they were using slingshots.
Whoopa whoopa.
Yeah
make a turn.
So anyway, predictions, I just kind of want, as we go into the finale here, Thrawn is coming back.
Right. Thrawn's going to be...
Thrawn's returning.
Back in the galaxy of...
Yeah.
Where all Star Wars takes place. Yep.
Right. Yeah, we're going back home. How we get there, it may be that they have to go back as prisoners. It may be that they're able to, like, figure out how to sneak on to the ring and quickly get the coordinates. I don't know if they can make a jump that long themselves, because it seems like that was the whole problem, is that they had to get this huge hyperspace ring to make this jump. So I don't know if Ahsoka's Jedi fighter could do that, if that makes sense, right?
Doesn't seem like it, right?
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't seem like it. So unless they can contact the whales or...
Right, which with Ezra does not seem impossible.
Yeah. Yes, it is possible for him to do that. But with the ship, yeah, he can also broadcast out maybe that signal again to the Purrgil and get them back, and then we'll take the whales back. But it was also weird that in this episode, the whales came here to die, and there's a minefield that they just set up. But I'm like, wait a second, they just set that up, though. The minefield wasn't there before, so what was causing the whales to die prior to Thrawn? Remember he said this is like a whale, like a Purrgil graveyard?
Yeah.
And that's where I think whatever Baylan's trying to get into and whatever these Night Sisters are trying to avoid, why are they wanting to leave their planet?
Right.
Why are
something is there, yeah.
Yeah, there's a darkness, there's a dark energy or something that they've either trapped or they've tapped into that he's going after himself.
Yeah,
and
could be.
They're loading up what look like caskets or coffins or something, these tubes.
Right.
The tubes that they're loading up into Thrawn's hangar.
And they seem very important because that was Thrawn's whole thing. You know, we caused a distraction so we could load them up and we need to take them with us. That seems to be the most important cargo.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised, and some people were talking about this online, if it were similar to what we had on Dathomir, if you had like Savage Opress or if you had Darth Maul, you had these male Zabrak who were going to maybe even be force sensitive, or that they could use their witch magic and help increase or sort of give them extra powers.
Yeah.
And that they are sort of Thrawn's way of combating force sensitives and fighting. Maybe they're able to be his warrior group or something against the likes of Ahsoka, Luke Skywalker, Ezra Bridger, Sabine, and others. Who knows? But for they're super important. And I can't tell if they were... It feels like they're coming from that planet and that they are important to the Great Mothers.
Yeah.
Because he's not leaving, as you said, until we get all of them on the ship. And the Great Mothers are working for Thrawn. Every time he asks for their assistance, they say absolutely, gladly.
Yeah.
And I feel like, just like Baylan said to Shin, you know, go take your place in this new empire. She will. I think she'll get back and take her place in the new Thrawn Empire, the heir to the Empire. But I feel like these mothers are also going to take their place in the Empire as well. And I think they're going to be given, like, Dathomir, for example. I think they'll go back to that planet and inhabit it.
Yeah.
And sort of bring back their culture there.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. So that'd be cool, I guess. I mean, good for them, right?
Yeah.
I mean, truly. Lottie's like rooting for the dark side over here.
No, but I'm like, are we going to... The joke in Star Wars, you know, like if someone... we saw people die and they come back. So are we going to see Darth Maul again?
Darth Maul? Some people were joking about it, but I mean, seriously, some people were saying it's possible. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think he was buried on Tatooine, so I'm not so sure if...
We had that whole closure episode
during Rebels.
During Rebels. And, I mean, it would connect to it, so I don't know.
Yeah. Would they go back and get
it? It would just be funny.
Yeah. I think they will do something. And we don't even know on their world. Is there some, like, different species or Night Brother or something that's different from the Night Sisters? I have no clue. And I'm still a little bit lost on how all of that sort of... works, but they definitely are coming back with Thrawn, and they have a place and something. See, in Heir to the Empire, Thrawn had a way to stop the Jedi. He had Yislam Ahri. He had these beings or whatever creatures that he could. They would create a Force void, right, like a bubble,
right.
And the Force could not be used inside of that radius. So it'd be like this room. If Thrawn were sitting in this room and he had a couple of Yislam Ahri in the room and a Jedi walks in and the Jedi thinks they can use their Force powers against Thrawn, they can't. They can't use. They can't touch the Force.
Why do you think that could not be the case that they are in those caskets or things?
Yeah, they could be. They could be creatures that could do that. It could also be, though, that like instead of it being this creature or thing that creates a void in the Force,
mm-hmm.
it's more likely that it's a warrior that he just can that he can direct and send at other Jedi, possibly.
Right. Some kind of weapon that helps him defeat.
It's either a weapon or some sort of defense. Some people have also said, if you remember from Rebels, they were transporting kyber crystals. And the kyber crystals were held in chambers like that. They were held in these little cylinders or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it could be some kyber. But what for? What would he be building with kyber? Why would he want that? Not so sure. It looks like these are beings of some kind that are important to the Night Sisters and then possibly important to Thrawn. And they're all going to take their place in his new empire.
So he wants to be the new emperor. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah. He's heir to the Empire. He's coming back, and he's going to take control of it. He wants the galaxy to be ready and prepared for some threat.
Mm-hmm.
We're not sure what that is, but yeah, he wants order. He wants order and not chaos. He's from a place called the Chaos, and his particular spot in space, the Chiss Ascendancy, is surrounded by the Chaos, as they call it.
Yeah.
So I feel like Thrawn's always trying to seek and find order. And if you look at how he does things, he is very orderly and he is very calculated and methodical about how he approaches stuff.
Oh, yeah,
stuff.
For sure. Yep.
So, so there's that. I have no clue how they're going to get back. I have no clue. I know how Thrawn's going to get back, and it's just, can they slip on that ship? Can they tag along? If they can fly up to it and attach themselves to his Death Star, maybe they could do that.
Yeah.
Seems kind of simple, but I don't know. I have no clue how else
Too bad they don't have the ghost to do that.
Yeah,
Undetected, right?
Undetected, yeah.
I do think for some reason, and I might be completely wrong, that Shin, though, might be... Maybe she's too late. Maybe she can't make it back in time to go with Thrawn.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe she's stuck there with them and has to team up with them, or at least like...
Yeah.
See, they get back together with her. For some reason, I think that it's going to happen.
Okay, let me ask you a different question. First, because I think that would have happened right here. I think at the end of this, Shin would have just said, okay, I'm going to sign, hey.
No, I think she's still unsure. Yet. But I think it's foreshadowing.
Yeah, I think it's foreshadowing her turn, right? Don't you think it's foreshadowing that she's going to turn to the light?
Yes. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I think she's been intrigued by this Ezra Bridger, Bokken Jedi, raised in the wild. And she feels like that's her. Her master has now actually left her. He's basically said, you're on your own. Go.
Yeah.
And he's raised her to be something more. So.
And Ahsoka.
Yeah.
Offers her her hand and says, let me help you. I can help you.
Right. So that, sort of the first sign that we're going to have Shin coming to the light side, which is awesome. We've yet to really see, I think, on live action. Well, I'll take that back. I always say these things and then I'm always just like, well, yeah, there is something. but I just feel like not very often do we have a character where they are. We meet them on the dark side. We've met her kind of like, in the gray, leaning dark, with an orange reddish lightsaber, and that she may come back to the light and be a great Jedi. That would be sick, actually, if Shin were some awesome epic Jedi and maybe even redeemed the memory of her master, because he lost his way and he can go on to be something more than he ever was able to be.
Right.
You know, maybe she sees the madness growing and she has to face him later. She has to face Baylan because he goes and gets some power and he becomes some great destroyer, and she sort of has to kind of tell him like that it's okay. You know, like this is maybe she's what has kind of kept him going while the Jedi Order was down and out, and he was able to kind of teach and pass on what he knows and take the best of the Jedi and instill that in her.
But,
yeah, I think she's coming back, though. I think for a while she'll be in Thrawn's empire, and she'll do something for Thrawn and be with him, I feel like. Just a member of his group. But then there'll come a moment where she'll turn.
Yeah.
It's not now.
You think
it's later,
down the line. Yeah.
Down the line. Mm-hmm. That's what I think. But
so next week is the last episode of this season.
Yeah. Last episode. And I kind of wonder how much they're going to show us. Like, is it because you've led us right up to this point where Thrawn is just moments away. And this is where I say it's going a little bit slow, because it's like if the whole episode is just finally, like if it all ends and Thrawn just arrives back in the galaxy and they're alerted, then you're kind of like, wow, so much really went on here outside just to bring his return.
Right. It doesn't seem like a setup for a grand finale yet.
Yeah.
But I am happy to be surprised.
Oh, me too, Tuesday. Me too. And also, Rebels didn't do that. So if we just don't know how many seasons of this we're going to get. If True. I thought this was just season one, if I'm thinking this is just season one of one, and there's just some big movie where Thrawn's the big villain,
yeah,
okay, that works, but then we're going to need more things with Mandalorian, or we're going to need something, some other
right.
know, show or season, I feel like, to kind of lead us up and give us some more context of what's going on, and then show this big battle. Mm-hmm. Because we haven't really seen... We don't really know what's going on in the galaxy.
Yeah.
If you think about, we know what's happening with Mandalorians and Mandalore, and we've gotten little tidbits about the New Republic.
Right.
But I just feel like we don't know enough about what's happening.
And how is that all going to lead to the sequels later?
Yeah, the sequels in the First Order.
Yeah.
Right. I know they have to tie that in, and that was something that was said here when Ezra was talking about Emperor Palpatine. He sort of said, you know, Sabine said that he's been destroyed, or so people say.
That's what they say, yeah.
Right. And there's still this sort of rumor and going around that maybe he wasn't destroyed.
Right.
Which we know ends up being the case. That's canon. So, yeah. But I would love for it to be super fast-paced out the gate when we start the next episode.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Baylan, because it feels like Baylan has this whole journey he has to go on to find some power. Unless it's just some object or something that we don't know what it is and he just picks it up and has it. But who is he going to go meet? Is he going to go unleash some terrible force that's been imprisoned here on this planet?
Yeah.
And that's going to be, I don't know, like this great destroyer that's going to come to... our galaxy, if you will, and cause issues or what? It's so strange, because actually Thrawn keeps saying we need to leave this godforsaken place. Like, we need to leave. This place is forsaken, and it is not a good place to be. And the great mothers, they don't want to be there either. It feels like it's rotted, dying, and there's a graveyard
They've
outside.
Had enough.
Yeah,
it's been years. I mean, look how much Ezra's grown.
And he has a ship, and has he not been able to get to other planets? Is this...
Yeah, why was he stuck on that planet?
Right.
In that galaxy, yeah.
I feel like they're on the outer rim of that galaxy.
Yeah,
you've gone from one outer rim to the other outer rim, and so in the outer rim, it's difficult maybe to find other planets nearby, and if you don't know the hyperspace lanes, or if there aren't any...
Right, no maps, then, no layout, you don't know.
Yeah. Mm. So, we'll see. I don't know. I'm interested to hear what you guys think, your predictions. We're recording this on Sunday, going to post it on Monday. But so that'll give us like just a day or two to kind of then get ready to go here for the finale. And I'm interested. I'm still locked in. I still had a good time on this episode. I thought the best things were Hayden, C-3PO, and then Ezra using the Force was really cool. I didn't actually enjoy that. And all of the fighting, the lightsaber fighting was awesome. Shin is awesome. I am like actually super impressed with the character development there. And it goes to show you that you don't have to do a whole lot. It doesn't have to be like it's just a few nods and a few words here and there. And she's just her presence on the screen is pretty awesome.
It is. Yep.
And that's what they did with Darth Vader in episode 4. So he wasn't on the screen a whole lot, and he only had a few lines. And whenever he did show up, it really mattered and it really meant a lot. So. Less was more with the villains, but okay. Anything else? Any other crazy predictions as we're kind of watching the fight? You know, we got it off here to the side. We're watching Ezra freak out.
Yeah.
Try to talk his way out of it. But anything else?
No, I think I'm also just excited to see how things go in the last episode. Sometimes they build so much mystery and questions, and we're excited. Oh, what happened between Ahsoka and Sabine in the past, or what's this great power that Baylan is seeking? And you feel like, wow, that's only one episode left to explain things, and maybe they want to explain it later in a different season. I don't know.
Yeah.
Sometimes it feels like there's so
they should
so
have
much
explained. It feels like they should have
mystery.
Explained.
Yeah,
more. Yeah.
Definitely the Sabine Ahsoka thing, but
Yeah, there's so much stuff going on between those two that it's.
It's good sometimes, to leave things unsaid and then come back to them later. But I feel like there should be a little more of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, I got to say,
flashbacks or explanations or something.
Yeah. If you're the creator and you know where you're going and you know what you're doing, Dave Filoni has to weather any... Like, everyone's saying exactly what we're saying, which is, like, whether this... He knows, like, when you create this, if you watch Rebels, people will tell you, push all the way through.
Right.
It is the most rewarding series. And it just takes time. It takes time in season one and season two.
True.
And then there's these epic moments in season three and four. And it's so worth the ride.
Yes.
And right now I feel like we're in season one of that. And we're sitting here going like, okay, is this really? And we don't even have a season two or three or four to kind of go to. So.
And I guess it's something that Star Wars always had. I can't imagine watching the first couple of movies. When did they come out? 87?
77.
And you sat there and you had no clue. Like, you had only questions. The first minutes, you didn't know who Leia was. You didn't know the relationship between
none of it. Yeah.
Any of them and where they are and what they're looking for, really. I mean...
Yeah, you're thrust into the like right into a story.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is awesome. And that's actually what we've done here with the Ahsoka series as well. There's elements of that. We've just been thrust into a story and we kind of have to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And things don't have to ever be answered. That's true. There can just be sort of something that we know because our imagination can kind of fill in the blanks. And I feel like I feel like a lot of people are also split on this episode. And some are saying like, you know, hey, I actually think it was really fast paced or it really did a good job. And they totally disagree with us. And that's totally fine. I hope to hear from those folks because... I am in love with this series. I've actually had such a blast covering it, and I think it's been really good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Last sort of question. Do you know if there is novelizations of the newer TV shows that we get from Star Wars?
Oh, great question. I don't think so.
Just the movies.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just the movies have novelizations. Mm-hmm. I think there are some books and comics that sometimes are companion pieces that
that
fill makes in sense. Gaps or that happen before or lead into or whatever. And I think right now too they're actively building this they're actively building this out, and so they're not going to they're not ready to do all all the gaps and stuff.
Maybe.
But yeah, you're right though that when episodes 1, 2, and 3 came out, there was a novelization. Mm-hmm. Episode 1 novelization, episode 2, and then episode 3.
Which you have read?
Yeah, have you read? I've not read all of the.
Okay.
I didn't read episode 1 or episode 2, but I did read episode 3 novelization.
That'd be so interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, you would actually, I think, love those because it would probably solidify what happens in those movies more so in your mind.
For sure. And I sometimes miss things on shows and movies.
Yeah.
Whereas when I read it, when I have it in front of me and I can read it and reread it maybe, then I have a better understanding of relationships and characters and places where we are. Yep.
Yeah.
For sure. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe we'll get Lottie doing that after the Ahsoka series is over and we've got one more week. So, hey, if you guys have big thoughts, theories, anything after you've seen the finale, send those in because we'll be covering Ahsoka for a couple more weeks and we'll just be covering transmissions. And I know we've got a few that have come in and I would love to talk about everyone kind of combing back through even the ones that we've missed and then looking forward to future ones. So, all right, friends. Well, with that, sorry. I feel like Ez wasn't as enthused in this episode. I'm sorry that I wasn't. I don't know. It was probably my craziness, my madness of last week and all the stuff we had going on. And then this episode came out and I thought it was going to just be like just epic, blow my socks off sort of thing. And it did in a lot of ways, but just didn't blow both socks off, if that makes sense. Just one. And I love double sock guy. That was strange. Anyway. All right. Anyways, moving on. Thanks again. And as always, may the Force be with you.